Mrs. Seuss takes a bite of the ham. This is delicious. Ma taps her elbow and places the other hand on her heart. Thank you. Mommy taught me when I was 7. She was an after-school teacher, so I would have to fend for myself when I got home. I'd make a snack and get dinner started while doing my homework. I love cooking. Do you cook professionally? Mrs. Seuss asks. No, I do accounting for a gym. I'm scared I'll fall out of love with cooking if someone's paying me to do it. It'll become work, and I won't be excited to come home and cook with my family. Man, I love my mom. She's the kind of person who will make everyone feel at home, even if she has a problem with you. Sort of like she was with Hudson. But I can tell she's already so comfortable with Mrs. Seuss. Like, I can maybe even see them hanging out. Except, Mrs. Seuss will be leaving at the end of the summer. And taking my boyfriend back to Georgia with her.
You're an attorney, right?
Ma asks.
Yes, at Smilowitz and Birnbaum.
It's a great firm. One that's been very relaxed about Arthur following your son into a post office instead of running his coffee errand. We all laugh. I never realized that Arthur went into the post office just to follow me in.
How about you, Diego?
Mr. Seuss asks.
I'm an assistant manager at Duane Reade. It's not fancy, but we're comfortable. I have a great team, mostly great. Bills get paid, food makes its way to the table, Ben gets his allowance. Anything else would be extra.
I think about extra a lot. Vacations to all these tropical islands I'm always seeing in movies. Owning expensive sneakers that I can take out into the world and not keep in a closet, scared that I'll mess them up. Family car to get us out of here on weekends. Updated iPhones and laptops. College, since I won't score a scholarship. These are all things Arthur's family doesn't have to worry about as much.
Yourself? Pa asks Mr. Seuss. Computer programming. I'm in between gigs right now because of the relocating, Mr. Seuss says.
He turns to Mrs. Seuss immediately.
Which is not anyone's fault. I thought it'd be easier to find a position of interest that can be managed with our time frame before we go back home.
Do you miss working?
Ma asks.
So much. The first week I got to watch a lot of Netflix, but that's satisfying, not fulfilling. I've done a dozen consultations and not been hired yet, and it's really taking a toll on me, on us.
He gestures to Arthur and Mrs. Seuss. But we're hanging tight.
The coquito will make you feel better, Pa says. Embarrassing the boys might help too, right?
Yes, please,
Mr. Seuss says.
No, Arthur and I say at the same time.
Our parents trade stories about what we were like as kids. I thought I was in the clear with secrets because Arthur knows I'm in summer school now. But I wasn't prepared for him to learn about 10-year-old Ben and Dylan acting like we were on a reality show called Being Bad Boys without realizing how sexual that sounded. And Arthur sinks into his chair while everyone, myself included, bursts into laughter because of how often he used to take selfies with mannequins on his dad's phone while they shopped for school clothes.
I have another one, Mrs. Seuss says. No, you don't, Arthur says. You're fresh out of stories. A few months ago, when Arthur found out we'd be spending the summer in New York, Michael and I came home early from a friend's birthday party, and Arthur was...
Mom! Arthur shouts,
watching a YouTube video of a Dear Evan Hansen song and belting along while dancing.
It was magnificent, Mr. Seuss says.
I don't laugh this time, because Arthur seems a little upset. I stand.
Arthur, let's go to my room.
I can show you the cover I drew for my book. Arthur practically knocks into his dad getting out of his seat.
Yes, please. But wait, we're still eating, Ma says. Food isn't going anywhere, I say, taking Arthur's hand. We'll be back.
Keep the door open, Mr. Seuss shouts.
We go to my bedroom with flushed faces. Like we're going to lock the door and get wild in here with them outside. Except when we enter my room, I lead Arthur out of sight and I kiss him with this howling hunger that's demanding more time with him each passing day. I take a breath. You okay? Better now. I just don't like being teased about Broadway. The videos keep me going. I saw 2 shows last month, but they weren't my top shows. His eyes widen. Oh, that's shitty to say, that my Broadway shows weren't good enough. I was lucky to go to any. I just keep entering the lottery for Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen, but no luck. There's still time, I say. And it could have been worse out there. True. Arthur looks around the room. He walks over to my desk. So, this is where the future best-selling and global phenomenon The Wicked Wizard War gets written. Where's the book cover? I reach into my drawer and pull out a purple folder where I drew some of the little monsters in the story. And I pull out the book cover. It looks like a Harry Potter cover, except there's a Ben-looking wizard in the center, and he's hiding behind a demolished wall as evil wizards search for him. It is not good at all, and even Arthur laughs. He looks around at the rest of the room. I put Hudson's breakup box in my parents' closet a couple hours ago. I should just get rid of it. I don't like hiding anything from Arthur. But it's just like the old posts on Instagram that I can't get myself to just delete. Like Hudson never happened. Like he's someone to be ashamed of. And throwing away the good memories feels like a slap in the face to our history. It has nothing to do with the future. I don't know. I really like your room, Arthur says. This entire apartment. I hope this doesn't come off as wrong, but I really love it because it feels more like home than my own house does. Everything here feels like it matters. If something broke or got lost, you would notice. So many things in my house feel so replaceable. Maybe you just don't know why some of it matters. Maybe. I need to get better at asking questions. Arthur sits on my bed. I sit beside him, and I think about sex, because that's what happens when your beautiful boyfriend is in bed with you. If we make a move to have sex while he's still in New York, it's going to be his first time. That's wild pressure. I want to prove myself to him so that no matter what happens between us, he won't ever look back at me and regret our choice. Like how I don't regret Hudson and me losing our virginity together. And I hope he doesn't either. People change. And he did. And I did too. But who we were when we had sex still feels right to me. I hope I always feel right to Arthur. I lean in to kiss him when my mom calls for us. We're done talking about you. Come finish your dinner. I squeeze his hand and we go back out there. The rest of dinner is painless. We're all laughing together, not at one another. The only thing that could have made the night a little extra perfect is if Dylan and, yeah, Samantha too were here. I hate that I'll have to recount the night to Dylan and that I won't be able to do it justice. That I'll forget some jokes that had us all laughing so hard. But I guess that's just the cycle that comes with dating. Time spent with best friends is minimized, and you get this whole new life they're not always a part of. Arthur and I help clear the table as my dad brings out the cookies Team Seuss brought over. The cookies are huge. Like, it looks like someone put 4 globs of cookie dough too close to one another on the tray, and a mega cookie happened. 2 are double chocolate chip, two are oatmeal raisin, two are chocolate chip walnut.
Thanks so much for bringing these over, Pa says. He offers the box to Arthur.
You get first dibs for hosting us, Arthur says.
Kiss ass, Mr. Seuss says with a smile.
Pa grabs one double chocolate chip cookie, and Arthur watches him take a bite with this wide-eyed look, like my dad just took Arthur's car for a joyride and crashed it. Ma grabs the other double chocolate chip because she's never been big on anything with nuts or raisins. Arthur stares at her like she just got the last available ticket in the world for Hamilton. Smart money is on Arthur wanting one of those cookies.
This is so good, Ma says.
Arthur grabs a chocolate chip walnut cookie and picks out the walnuts before eating it. Mr. Seuss takes a bite out of the oatmeal raisin cookie.
I probably won't wait 20 minutes for a cookie again, but I'm glad we did it.
We talk a little more before calling it a night. As Arthur hugs my parents, I can't believe this is all happening. Whenever Hudson came over for dinner, he would just shake their hands like they were my bosses and not my parents. But it's also really awesome seeing our dad's hug, and Pa telling Mr. Seuss that they have to come back over soon, since they never got around to drinking the wine they brought over. Mrs. Seuss trades numbers with Ma, and wow, if I ever write my mom back into TWWW, I'll have to include her Enchantress BFF, Mara. Arthur and I kiss, very quickly, while everyone is saying bye, and Team Seuss thanks us one last time before leaving.
That was so fun, Ma says. Arthur is wonderful, adorable, great manners. I really like him, the whole family.
Me too.
What's going to happen when he goes home?
Pa asks.
I shrug. This question sucks.
I'm just getting to know him while he's here.
I think about the way Arthur smiled so hard during dinner when he thought no one was watching him, and what I could do to win as many smiles out of him as possible.
Chapter 23. Arthur. Monday, July 23rd. I leave the room for 5 minutes, Namrata says, and now you're standing on a fucking chair. I'm taking a sensory motor break. I press my fist to my chest.
Oh, Benny boy, the pipes are calling.
Juliet glances up from her laptop. I'm just glad he stopped singing Ben's Body is a Wonderland. Anyway, big announcement time, says Namrata. Guess who's dropping out of school and moving in with their parents? I gasp. You? Namrata snorts. No, dumbass. David's roommates. The dino porn guys? Their Kickstarter got funded, so they're taking the year to work on Jurassic Passion, and apparently 714 people are willing to pay for that quality content. So, she shrugs. Good for them. I bump back down into my seat, sliding the chair back to the table. Let's throw a party. You want to throw a party celebrating Dinosaurotica? Juliet asks. I'm in a good mood, okay? We noticed, says Namrata. Want to know why? We know why. Starts with B, rhymes with when, as in, when are you going to start working on the Schumacher files? 10 points to Ravenclaw! I announce, holding my fist like a microphone. But which Ben? Is it Affleck? Stiller? Carson? Nope, it's Benjamin Hugo Alejo, my boyfriend. I do a quick drum roll. Also Ben Platt. Great speech, says Namrata. Juliet peers at me for a moment, her chin in her hands. It's pretty wild, actually, she says. I can't believe you pulled this off. You put up a poster for this guy, then you actually found him. And now you guys are boyfriends. We are? We even got the label. We are doing some heavy labeling. Jesus. And you've already met his parents, Namrata says. It's been, what, 2 weeks? Yep. I beam. So, what the fuck is next? I mean, the thing that's so crazy is I don't even know. I don't know what comes next, because Broadway tells me one thing, but Reddit tells me something very different. And no one's advice seems to fit how I feel. Nothing's quite what I expected. I think I knew I'd feel giddy, but I didn't know I'd feel so certain. I didn't know it would feel like the whole world clicking into place. It's weird, because even I know that 2 weeks are nothing. So why do 2 weeks with Ben feel so earth-shattering? It's scary how easy it is to picture a future with him. It's scary how every minute something new reminds me of him. New York in general reminds me of him. As far as I'm concerned, Ben is New York. And that's terrifying. Tuesday, July 24th. Hi, hello, yes, we still need to discuss the complicated thing. You guys free? Hello, Jess. Hello, Ethan. Jessica Noor Franklin. Ethan John Gerson. Where are you? I'm alone in the group chat. Frowny face, frowny face, frowny face. Y'all are in Target, aren't you? Why does Target have the worst signal? WTF. Get your butts out of the dollar section and into my texts. Wednesday, July 25th. By Wednesday, I'm a human fireball. The moment work ends, I launch out the door of the building, skidding to a stop next to Maury, the doorman. Ben's surprising me tonight. I don't know where he's taking me, but he's been hyping it all week.
Whoa there, doctor, Maury says, blue eyes twinkling. In a hurry?
Someone's meeting me here. My boyfriend. My boyfriend, my boyfriend, my boyfriend. Maury steps away to open the door for someone, and I sneak a glance at my phone. 5:15, and nothing from Ben. I peer up the street, taking inventory of all the faces. I don't see him in the distance. I bite back a twinge of disappointment and shoot him a quick text. A moment later. Sorry, running late, be there in 5. He shows up at 5:30. I just look at him. I thought you might be dead.
No, sorry, just lost track of time.
He hugs me tightly. Hey. And it's the kind of contradiction that makes my brain hurt. On one hand, here's Ben, late, yet again, and obnoxiously unperturbed about it. On the other hand, I don't want him to stop hugging me, ever. We set off for the subway. So where are you taking me?
Downtown.
Interesting. I take in his outfit. He's definitely dressier than usual. This may be the first time I've seen him in pants that aren't denim. He checks the clock on his phone. Are you worried about the time? I ask. Should we lift?
We'll be fine.
I can pay for it, I start to say, but the look on his face stops me in my tracks. Or not. Subway's probably faster anyway. But the subway isn't faster. The subway is a shit show. It's literally one stop from Grand Central to Times Square, but the train never starts moving. They don't even shut the doors. I turn to Ben after a moment. Do trains sometimes just forget to go? He taps his hand on the pole, mouth pressed tight.
I don't know what's happening.
Should we tell someone?
Tell who?
The Metropolitan Transportation Authority? That makes him smile. I don't think so.
I heard someone threw up, says a lanky guy in glasses.
Ben checks his phone again. What does that mean? I ask. But Ben doesn't seem to hear me. The lanky guy chimes in.
Well, they have to clean the whole car and sanitize everything. We might as well settle in.
He seems almost pleased about it.
We're not going anywhere for a while.
We better walk, says Ben. Come on.
I follow him out of the station and out to the street.
It's not much farther. We'll be there in 10.
But 10 minutes turns into 15. And that's with him walking so fast I'm practically jogging to keep up. He turns onto Broadway, and then 46th Street, and I open my mouth to ask where we're going. But then, I see it. All lit up in yellow gold. Ben, for a moment, I'm speechless. You did not. He exhales, grinning.
Okay, so Lin-Manuel Miranda was running this lottery promo for...
For teens enrolled in New York public schools. I know. Holy shit, this is happening. This is actually happening. My voice cracks. You won?
I mean, I entered.
Ben shrugs.
I don't know. I figured
even if we lose, we could still hang out. I'm sorry, what? My mouth falls open. He smiles uncertainly.
You okay?
Yeah, are you seriously implying that seeing Hamilton and quote-unquote just hanging out are two equally good alternatives?
I feel like there's an insult buried in there. Ben laughs. I don't laugh.
Anyway, I think they should have announced the winners by now. Let's check with the box office. I nod, but I feel like crying. God, I actually let myself picture this happening. Just for a moment, but already the loss of it stings. No one ever wins the Hamilton lottery. I enter every single day. And yeah, maybe the odds are better on this promo thing, but I'll never be that lucky. The universe doesn't love me that much. But I follow Ben inside the theater, where there's an immaculately made-up blonde woman at the will call window.
Hi, excuse me, Ben says, his voice an octave higher than normal.
I'm sort of in love with how weird he is around adults.
So, I entered a competition today for New York public school students, and I don't know if you've announced the winners yet, or if I need to check in somewhere else, or... He trails off. My name is Ben Alejo.
Benjamin Alejo? The lady looks at him, eyebrows knitted.
Oh, honey, we just gave away your tickets.
What? He stutters. I won? My heart sinks into my stomach.
Two front row tickets, but they had to be claimed by 6 p.m. I wish you'd called in.
Ben shakes his head wordlessly.
I'm so sorry. I can enter you in the lottery for tomorrow if you'd like.
Sure, thank you. His voice is almost a whisper, but by the time we're back outside, he's raging.
That's ridiculous. He stalks down the street and I hustle to catch up. When does the show start? 8? There's over an hour. They could have called me.
Are you joking?
They had my number on the form. I want to scream or tear something down. I have that tornado feeling in my stomach.
Do you have any idea how many people would kill for the tickets you just lost?
Front row seats?
My voice breaks.
Yeah, well, if they're going to set an arbitrary time to claim...
It's not an arbitrary time. That's how this works. We were late.
Yeah, if the train hadn't stopped.
If you'd been on time, we wouldn't have been on that train.
Arthur, come on.
I exhale. Like, do you even get that you just lost front row Hamilton tickets?
I get it. God. His voice is thick. You have no idea how much I wanted this to work out. No idea. I wanted this so badly.
Yeah, well, me too.
I know, Arthur. It's Hamilton.
It's not just Hamilton, okay?
It's not?
He looks at me helplessly.
How do you not get this? God, Ben, my chest feels so tight it could burst. You've been late for every single date. Every single one.
I know, I'm...
And you know what? If you were excited about seeing me, that wouldn't happen. It wouldn't. It's like you don't even care.
He looks at me like I've hit him.
I do care.
But not enough. You don't care enough.
I stare at him, heart pounding. Maybe I should care less.
Chapter 24. Ben. I don't think I've ever been a bigger disappointment than right now. Boyfriends are supposed to be the ultimate hype men, the ones responsible for smiles and building each other up even when they're down. They're not supposed to be the reason someone is heartbroken in the first place. But I betrayed Arthur's trust, and I'm the cause behind his un-Arthur-like face. I held Arthur's big Broadway dreams in my hands and crushed them. I had nothing but his heart in mind, and the worst of me got in the way. Arthur? He's standing there, shaking. He hasn't looked this pained since the night that asshole came for us on the train. Now I'm the asshole. I reach for his shoulder and he shrugs me off. He just sinks to the curb. I want to say I'm sorry, but I know he won't hear it. He's crying. This is not just about tickets. I'm a screw-up, and he thinks I'm not into him as much as he's into me. I take out my phone and sit beside him. Arthur, can you look up for one sec, please? I pull up YouTube. I have to make this right now more than ever. I hand him one earbud and keep the other. I type Hamilton karaoke. And when Alexander Hamilton comes on, I sing along. I put myself out there the way Arthur did with Ben. I feel him watching me as I try keeping up with the lyrics, as I try not to focus on the various people walking by us as they make a mockery of the performance that will soon be happening right behind us. 1 minute in, Arthur doesn't react. But then, "My name is Alexander Hamilton," Arthur says. Lead role. Of course. We vibe along to the rest of the song, singing together, one of us significantly better and more carefree than the other. But he's the only audience I'm caring about. When the song ends, I'm ready to apologize. But Arthur takes my phone and looks up a cover of Only Us from Dear Evan Hansen, and he comes closer to me as he sings the words, "So what if it's us? What if it's us? And only us?" This song is so beautiful. What it feels like to be wanted by someone who sees you for who you are. How the world, the busyness of Times Square, can feel like it's falling away when you're with the right person. When it's my turn to choose the next cover, I go for Suddenly Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors, a movie I saw with my parents a few years ago. He chooses The Wizard and I from Wicked. I step it up. I choose Can You Feel the Love Tonight from The Lion King. I wish I could read Arthur's mind as he sways along. Arthur chooses What I Did for Love from A Chorus Line, and every song we choose feels like we're having a conversation without saying a single word. "One more," Arthur says. "We can stay here all night," I say, though my phone only has 20% battery left. He plays a high school chorus banging out to My Shot, and I wish I went to the kind of school that had talent shows so I could see something like this in person. Which only reminds me we should be inside the theater. "I'm so sorry, Arthur. I will never forgive myself. We should be seeing the real deal. I know this may sound like bullshit, but I loved this even more." "Really?" "Ben, millions of people can say they were inside the Richard Rodgers Theater and saw Hamilton. We're the only ones who can say we sat on the curb and got so much of Broadway in one night." "And you're sure that's better because..." Arthur shuts me up with a kiss. "Well played," I say. We get up. "Seriously, I'm sorry. Another kiss." "Okay, but I messed up..." "Another kiss? Let me say, another kiss. You kissing me while I try to apologize is a good problem to have." "Ben, I'm happy. That was amazing and romantic and perfect. You're the king of rebounds." We go into the heart of Times Square. Tons of foot traffic keeps splitting us up, but we always make our way back to each other, not letting strollers or group selfies keep us apart. When I get his hand next, I keep him close, and I don't want to let go. Not tonight. Not ever.
Chapter 25. Arthur. Friday, July 27th. Jesse texts me on the group chain as the train leaves 33rd Street. "You free now?" "Gah, on my way to Ben's apartment. I'm sorry." I frown at my phone, trying to ignore the guilty twinge in my chest. It's been almost a week since I cut short our FaceTime, and we still haven't found time for a do-over. Jessie still hasn't told me her complicated thing. It's like we're spinning in opposite directions, like everything's off kilter, and I can't explain why, but it feels like my fault. even when it's Ethan and Jesse who are busy, even when they're the ones not texting me back. I guess it's just weird, being the first one in a relationship. No worries, Jesse writes. Are you gonna eggplant emoji, peach emoji, two dads with baby emoji? Are you asking if I'm going to conceive a child tonight? Psh, you know what I'm asking. And I know. Of course I know. I'm getting 3.5 hours of alone time with Ben tonight, because Mrs. Ortiz from up the block, agent of God, champion wing woman, all-time MVP, wants to play cards with Diego and Isabel. And yes, I'm aware of what can happen when you're alone in an apartment with your very cute boyfriend, but I'm not letting myself build this up in my head. No expectations. Next stop, First Avenue, says the intercom. Almost there, I text Ben. He writes back, outside the station, told you I wouldn't be late, smiley face. Also, 6 exclamation points, is that a relationship milestone? It means we're letting our punctuation balls hang out. Okay, I'm here, coming up. See you now, he writes back. And there he is, in his headphones, an Iceman t-shirt, leaning against a fence outside the station. His face brightens when he sees me, which makes my stomach feel fizzy. All I want to do is kiss him on the lips. Just a hello kiss, nothing tonguey. But I hug him instead, and he breathes in my hair. And that's pretty amazing, too. It's weird that you're here. I was here 5 days ago, I remind him. But not here. He gestures vaguely at the subway. And our parents were there. It's different. His cheeks flush. And if I wasn't thinking parent-free thoughts before, I'm definitely thinking them now. I'll carry your bag, Ben says. It's pretty heavy. I'm pretty strong, he says, smiling. So I smile back and let him take it. Oof, what's in here? Mostly my laptop. Also 6 boxes of condoms. Not that I plan to have 36 rounds of sex, but if sex happens, I need options, including glow-in-the-dark options. We set off down the sidewalk. So this is the East Village. I guess you probably came through here on Sunday. Well, our Lyft driver didn't really give us the grand tour. Well then, you are totally not in luck. I'm not? Empty apartment, cute boyfriend wearing cute work clothes? He bites back a smile. I'm probably not going to be the world's most thorough tour guide. Understandable, I grin back. But here's the funny thing. He kind of is the world's most thorough tour guide. He's not exactly taking the long route, but he has a story for everything we pass, like his school, which he calls his real school, as opposed to summer school at Bayesa High in Midtown. Or the beauty store, where he and Dylan cut off chunks of their hair with nail scissors so they could hold them up against the boxes of dye and finally know the truth of their own hair colors. Dylan, chocolate lava. Ben, honey brown. Or the bagel shop that sells cups of ice cream that you eat with tiny wooden paddles. Or how scared he got the day 8-year-old Dylan broke his arm and had a panic attack. I just soak it all in. I've never seen Ben so animated. I really love this side of him. I love seeing his neighborhood through his eyes, the way his memories occupy every block. Now we're in Alphabet City, he says. I can't believe Alphabet City is a real thing. It sounds like it's from Sesame Street. Our hands keep brushing as we walk. That show was almost named after my street, he says, smiling. They were going to call it 123 Avenue B. You live on Avenue B? And you're staying in apartment A. I think the universe is mocking us. Or high-fiving us, I say, high-fiving him. Except even when the high-five is over, we go on holding hands. Just for half a block, maybe. By the time we reach his building, my heart slamming all over my ribcage. There's no doorman and no elevator, but there's a big empty stairwell leading to an empty apartment. And as soon as the door shuts, he cups my face in his hands, tracing his thumbs along my cheekbones. But he doesn't kiss me right away. He just looks at me, smiling faintly. I have something to show you, he says, sliding my bag off his shoulder. What kind of something? Something awesome. Is it something I've seen before? I don't know. He smiles so sweetly it makes my heart flip. It's in my room. Oh. So should we... Sure, yep, yeah. I follow him into his bedroom, which feels totally, unrecognizably different from Sunday, in a way that I can only assume is due to sex vibes. I'm so nervous I'm almost shaking. I can't wrap my head and my heart around this strange new possibility. This thing my brain's been circling around for years. How could I ever have predicted the circumstances of this moment, this particular night, this particular place, this particular boy? I always thought it would feel larger than life, and it doesn't. But I like that. It's not a starlit field, but it's better, because it's Ben. So, he sits on his bed, and I settle in beside him. Then, he strains sideways and slides his laptop off his nightstand. I watch as he cracks it open and scrolls through his applications. I have to admit, this is an unexpected part of the process. But maybe it's porn. I think I've heard of people who do that, have sex with porn in the background. I don't entirely see the point. It seems kind of like watching YouTube videos in a movie theater. But maybe this isn't porn related. Maybe this is the Wicked Wizard War related, and he's opening up a freshly written sex scene to inspire us. That I could get into. Oh, here we go. Ben scoots backward on the bed. We end up side by side, our backs pressed to the wall, and he tilts his laptop toward me. It's a computer game. I made you a sim, he says shyly. Look, that's you. And there I am, center screen, tousled dark hair and button down and a bow tie. It's actually somewhat creepy how much my avatar resembles me. I know a little bit about this game, but mostly because Jesse loves it. But the level of detail catches me off guard. And it's not even just the clothing or the coloring. Sim Arthur has my facial features. I blink. Why do I have a green diamond floating over my head? Have you never played this? Ben asks. I shake my head. Really? Really? Then this is going to be a big night for you. I force a grin, but my mind is whirling. So this is it. We're playing The Sims. This is Ben's big night. He introduces me to his avatar, who basically looks like Ben in Harry Potter robes, and under normal circumstances, I'd be super charmed by this. But all I can think about are those 36 condoms burning a hole in my messenger bag. It's just hard to get excited about losing my sim virginity when I was sure I was going to lose my actual virginity. But I guess that's my own fault for coming in with expectations. But seriously, 3.5 hours in his apartment with no parents, and this is how he wants to spend it? This is the only activity he could come up with to do in this bed? We have a really pimpin' house, he informs me. Oh, and we live with Dylan. Of course we do. I have to admit, our sim house fucking rules. Ben's not shy about using cheat codes for money, so we've got a huge indoor pool and a sunroom for parties. There's a dragon sculpture in the foyer and a light-up dance floor in Dylan's room. And also, the entire backyard is an amusement park with a roller coaster and a carousel and a tunnel of love. For you and Dylan, I ask. We don't let Dylan ride it anymore, Ben says darkly. Ben walks us upstairs to our bedroom. Our bedroom. We share a room? Is that okay? This was actually mine and Dylan's house, and I kinda moved you into my room. He looks nervous, which makes me brave enough to scoot closer to him. Very okay, I say, resting my head on his shoulder. I like being your roommate. He hooks his arm around my waist and kisses me softly on the forehead. And something shifts. We don't log out of the game, but Ben slides the laptop back onto his pillow. Then, it's hard to explain, but he pulls me on top of him. And we're not exactly lying down, but we're not exactly upright either. He slides his hands beneath my shirt, and the warmth of his palms on my back makes me giddy. I thread my hands into his hair and kiss him without thinking, and the Sims music and chatter fades into the background, not nearly as loud as the thud of Ben's heartbeat. He draws back, breathing heavily. Should we take this off? He presses his thumb against one of my shirt buttons. He looks slightly terrified. Do you want me to? He nods quickly. Okay. I scoot a few inches sideways, so I'm slightly less on top of him. My heart's beating so fast it's practically buzzing. FYI, it's hard to unbutton buttons when your hands are shaking, I say, and even though it's not a joke, we both laugh. We're both breathless. Ben grins up at me, his eyes landing first on my face, then my chest, then the wadded-up button-down in my lap.
Cute undershirt, he says, catching its hem with his fingers.
He meets my eyes, and I nod, and the next thing I know, we're in our boxers, horizontal.
This okay?
He says softly, and I nod into the crook of his neck. He traces his fingertips along my back and my shoulders, and then he kisses me fiercely. I can't get over how warm his skin feels against mine. I run my hands along his stomach, which makes him squirm.
Should I not? No, you're good.
He exhales. We stare at each other, smiling.
So?
I say finally. Do we want to try? His eyes widen.
Do you?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He hugs me closer, and for a moment, we just stay like that, chest to chest, cheek to cheek, and then slowly, his fingers trail closer to my boxers, slipping under their waistband.
This still okay?
Holy shit. I laugh breathlessly.
Yep.
So this is actually happening. It's happening. It's happening, and my whole body knows it. His hand slides down another inch. I don't think I'll ever not be hard again. His eyes never leave mine. He looks nervous, and he holds me like I'm breakable. Another inch, and my heart leaps into my throat, because how is this real? How is this possibly real? How is this the same me that woke up this morning in a bunk bed?
Still good?
Ben asks softly. I nod, but I'm strangely close to tears. I'm just... I don't know. How is this happening? And how does this work? No, seriously, how does this specifically work? Who puts what parts where and in what order? And when does the condom go on? And what about lube? I know fucking nothing about lube. And here's Ben, peering at me sweetly with those eyes and those freckles, and I guess he probably knows the mechanics, and I should probably warn him how much I'm going to suck at this. Unless he's already figured it out. God, he probably already thinks this is a mistake, and I'm a mistake, and sex is a mistake, and also, what even is sex? It's so weird. What a weird thing to want to do. Or maybe I'm the one who's...
You okay?
Ben asks. I'm freaking out. Oh. His eyes widen.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
No. Arthur.
He kisses me gently and opens his arms.
It's fine. Okay, come here.
I tuck my head onto his shoulder, and he wraps his arms around me tightly.
I'm really sorry,
I whisper.
Don't be sorry.
He kisses me again.
If you're not ready, you're not ready. That's fine.
I am, though. I thought I was. I bury my face. I don't know.
So we try again another day. No big deal.
We don't have a lot of other days. He rests his head on mine.
I know.
We're quiet for a moment, just breathing. Are you disappointed? I ask.
No way. I'm just glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. My throat feels thick. God, Ben.
Hmm?
I really like you. It's kind of scary. He shifts back to look at my face.
Scary why?
Well... For one thing, you make me not want to leave New York.
I don't want you to leave either,
he says. Really? He smiles.
You think I'm half-assing this?
I don't know. I sigh. I don't know what it's supposed to look like or feel like. I just know I really like you. This is serious for me.
I feel serious about you too.
Really? I say again.
God, Arthur.
He kisses me.
Te quiero. Estoy enamorado. You don't even know.
And I don't speak a word of Spanish, but when I look at his face, I get it.
Chapter 26. Ben. Monday, July 30th. Summer has really stepped its game up. I may have lost some pretty huge firsts to Hudson, but dating Arthur feels like a do-over. Every kiss with Arthur feels like discovery, like we become more comfortable with each breath. And we haven't had sex yet, which is great. Not great, like I didn't want to do it, because wow, I really did and I still do. But great because we're not falling outside of ourselves just to make the other person happier. I'm right for him and he's right for me, and that feels beyond right. The universe knew it was love before we did. I still don't know what comes next for us after Arthur leaves. His 17th birthday is on August 4th. I don't have the money to buy him something flashy. My parents don't really drop bank on gifts either. They make them. Instead of buying Pa a coffee maker that would have to be replaced within a year, Mom made him an I love you, Diego mug that he cherishes. Like, if the apartment is on fire, he's grabbing us and that mug. And instead of buying Ma a new prayer book, I helped Pa make an audio file of him reciting her favorite Bible verses to listen to every morning. For my gift, I'm writing Arthur into the Wicked Wizard War. The small, mighty Arturo, who is clueless to what chill is. He's traveled from the land of great Georgia to Ever York to build his reputation and some skills so he can gain access to House Yale. But then he meets Benjamin. And the rest of the story is just going to be Benjamin and Arturo becoming kings who make out a lot. But before Arthur's big day, we're all celebrating the epic birthdays of Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling's at Dylan's tomorrow. We're going to watch Sorcerer's Stone and eat Bertie Bott's every flavor beans and send a photo to J.K. Rowling on Twitter and see if she likes our tweet. I'm so happy everything is coming together. Though, no matter how happy I am, summer school Mondays always especially suck. Thankfully, there's only 10 minutes left, and then later on, I get to hang with Arthur. He's going to help me study, and then we're having dinner with my parents and Dylan. A flash of lightning and loud clap of thunder draws everyone's eyes to the window. Harriet takes a moody photo that will get her more likes in an hour than I would get in a week. And Hudson is the only one staring at his desk, deep in thought, while everyone gets excited over the first rain of this blistering month. Hudson suddenly turns to me like he could feel my gaze on him. From the corner of my eye, I can see he's still staring.
"Let's call it a day," Mr. Hayes says at the front of class. "Quiz tomorrow on identifying subatomic particles. Just hang tight until it's time to go."
Harriet flips around in her chair and talks to Hudson. That used to be me and her in English class. At the beginning, we would talk about what music we liked, and then it became all things Hudson. Now we have awkward waves behind Hudson's back. Hudson gets out of his chair and comes my way, probably to use the back door to get to the bathroom sooner. But then he hovers over my side.
"Can I sit for a sec?"
Sure. Suddenly, Hudson and I are face to face for the first time since the second day of summer school.
"How's it going?"
he asks, flicking his fingernails against each other.
Fine. I really don't know what this is. Everything okay?"
"Been a while," Hudson says.
"Yep. I want to talk."
"About what?" Hudson takes a deep breath.
"I don't want to talk about us. I know that's dumb because of everything, and I saw a group picture of you at karaoke with Dylan and some guy.
You were looking into me. Aren't you hashtag moving on?"
Damn. I outed myself. Guilty of the same crime.
Hudson grins.
"You checked up on me too. Maybe we can just catch up instead of getting all life updates on Instagram. Try and be friends again. Harriet wants to hang too. She also misses you." Goosebumps run up my arms. I don't like that Hudson has any effect on me. He's the guy who kissed me and had sex with me and told me secrets and let me think something serious was going to happen. Everything would be so much easier if I could just be one of those ex-boyfriends who was happy that Hudson misses me and not care because I have an even more amazing boyfriend. But I really do want to be his friend. Harriet, too. And the only reason I really truly regret dating Hudson is because we couldn't break up and be friends again. Maybe we can bounce back. Okay, I say. I'm having dinner with Arthur and Dylan later, but we can go chill for a bit. Cool. No strings or weirdness, Hudson says. Maybe some weirdness. Some weirdness is okay, I say. But I'm running when it gets too weird. Like that time we kept calling Harriet Mom like her followers? Exactly. I mean, she's 17. How is she a mother to all these 14-year-olds? Wow. Maybe this will be a good thing. I'll get my friends back and tell them all about Arthur, and if it's not too weird for Arthur, maybe there's a chance they can meet him before he leaves. Might be tough talking Arthur into that one. But I think he'll come around. We can make it a group hangout with Dylan and Samantha, too. Mr. Hayes is heading out, and I promised my parents I'd get an update on my progress. I'll see you guys outside, I say, getting up and chasing after him. He's very fast for someone on crutches, and I'm convinced he's not participating in a Spartan race because he wouldn't want to hurt the fragile male egos of his opponents. Mr. Hayes? Yeah? Mr. Hayes asks as we slowly go down the stairs. Can I help you with your bag? Or crutch? I got it, thanks. So, what's up? Are you liking my chances of passing next week's final? I really don't want to get left back. I know school during the summer is no water park, but it's important you study extra hard over the next week. You're not failing the quizzes, but I'm not acing them either, I say. Legit feel like I can throw up. If I suck at homework when I have the internet and textbooks at my disposal, then I'm going to completely fail when it's just me and the blank page. You'll get there, Ben. I'm going to be staying late a couple days next week for extra guidance. I do recommend spending extra time studying every night as we lead up to the final. Maybe get a group together and quiz one another, Mr. Hayes says. We walk outside the building. I'm about to ask which days he'll be doing the extended classes when I see Arthur standing underneath a store's awning, hiding out from the rain. He's waving and smiling. I don't know what he's doing here, but my heart is hammering even harder than before. I have to get rid of him. Okay, Mr. Hayes, thanks, bye. Be careful with your leg, the steps are wet. I almost bust my ass running to Arthur, and he rushes toward me. Hey! I grab his hand and drag him back under the awning. I hug him and kiss him and spin him so his back is to the school's entrance. Why aren't you at work? I'm out sick, he says with air quotes, skipping for the rest of the afternoon. Why? Because I wanted to be with my boyfriend before his parents get home. I was thinking we could try again. You know. I keep looking to the entrance. Mr. Hayes passes us on his way to the train. Study hard, Mr. Hayes says, leaning in for a fist bump. You got it, I say. Is it possible to sweat while your face is already wet? If I get out of this, I'm going to set everything right. Come on, universe. Who's that guy? I don't see Hudson, but maybe he came out the side exit. Who? The one you were talking to? The guy on the crutches. Oh, Mr. Hayes. Yeah, that's my teacher. Cool. Arthur is smiling. So, should we... Ben! I could throw up. Hudson runs down the steps and please, please fall and don't get up until Arthur and I are long gone. Arthur turns and he squints and it's too late. It's all too fucking late. Harriet can't join us, Hudson says, walking up to me. He turns to Arthur. Hey, wait. You're the panini guy, right? Ben, he's the guy I met at Panera a few weeks ago. What's going on here, Ben? Arthur is red. Pissed? Embarrassed? Both. I don't know. It's not what you think, I say. Even though it's true, doesn't make me any less of a cliche douchebag. What is he doing here? Arthur asks. Hudson takes a step back. I'll give you a sec. Ben, why is he here? He's in summer school too. Arthur looks like I just punched him in the face. Like I punched him in the heart. He turns his back on me and heads into the rain, dragging his messenger bag on the ground. I stay by his side. So what? You just hang out with your ex-boyfriend after school? Does he even know about me? Are you two-timing both of us? We were literally hanging out so we could talk about you. Since when do you guys hang out at all? Today was going to be the first time, I swear. Arthur throws his messenger bag against the wall. No! You just got caught today. That's the only first. He crouches over, holding his stomach. I'm going to throw up. I put my hand on his lower back and he swipes me off of him. Don't touch me! Arthur, please hear me out. This looks bad, catastrophic, but I promise you that I love... What ass-backward world are you living in where your ex-boyfriend is more in the loop than your boyfriend? Arthur stands straight. He grabs his messenger bag and we go on to the next block with a little more distance between us. How come he gets to know about me, but I don't get to know about him? I didn't want to hurt you, I say. I tried to say something, but it just got harder and harder and looked worse and worse the longer I took, and... Then you should have just said something. I should have, but nothing happened between us. I can't control the fact that we're both in summer school. Sorry we don't have it together like you. Don't spin this around on me. I'm not pissed you're in summer school. I don't care about that. It would have been nice to know Hudson was there with you. Oh, yeah, like you would have been really chill about that. You clearly don't even trust me. Why should you? We haven't even known each other for a month. I take a deep breath. There were so many expectations, and I honestly wasn't sure we were going to be able to live up to them, and then we did. Ben, just stop. I don't need to hear how this wasn't real for you all along. It... was real, but what's the point? You're leaving the city in a week. Arthur squeezes his eyes shut, and he's shaking. When he reopens his eyes, there's so much hurt and anger. So you're going to stand there and act like this has all been in my head? All these first dates and meeting your parents and your friends and everything? It wasn't... Did you ever send Hudson his box? What? The box that you're going to mail the day we met. The rain is pounding on us. I don't say anything. I can't lie to him, and telling the truth is even worse. Arthur shakes his head. And this is why I don't trust you. Hope you and Hudson have an awful life together. He looks me in the eyes. We're over. I reach for his arm. Arthur, no, I'm done. I can't wait to go home. I don't think he's talking about Uncle Milton's place. He walks away, and even though I'm a huge idiot, I'm smart enough to know better than to follow him.
Chapter 27. Arthur. Of course it's raining. Of fucking course. I'm drenched to my boxers, water dripping from my eyelashes, and everything hurts. Everything's broken. Ben and Hudson. This whole time. Well done, universe. We had to prove you were never on our side. We had to prove you don't even exist. There's no plan and no fate. It's only us.